as I became a young adult that I worked was for my dad in an old warehouse. Does anybody know where the, it would have been the old Central Farm or the old pickle factory is down on the south end of town? You guys know where that is? Have you been inside of that thing? It's like a death trap or a rat trap. And I remember at different times, one of my main jobs was sweeping the floor. And there were as many holes in the walls and in the ceiling as there were in the floor as there were doors in the place, probably more holes. And I can remember sweeping in there at different times, and the dust would be like you're breathing, you know, it's not good. And as I remember sweeping in that video, did you see, like, in that garage where he was getting ready to put the garage door up and the sun was shining through and you could see the dust rising? For those of you who were here last week, that's the idea that I want you to get in your mind as we're talking. Because in our minds, when we have these old unhealed wounds from our past that are surrounded by all these emotions and the thoughts and then the actions that come from our thoughts and then the beliefs and the habits that we build out of all of this mess, that's kind of what happens in our minds. When we have all of this unhealed stuff, the truth tries to shine in. The truth that might come in the message of God loves me. When this message tries to make its way through this series of hurts from our past that has been unhealed, and all of the thoughts and all of our actions and all the beliefs that we formed about ourselves and the world around us, sometimes it's very difficult for the light of truth to make it through this. Do you guys remember, for those of you who did these little projects, these school projects when we were kids, you had one of those styrofoam balls, and then you stick the sticks in it, and it's like the solar system, and the sun is in the center, and you have these sticks, and you have the planets, and the further you go out, and it's like this three-dimensional thing, because our universe is three dimensions. It's not, you know, this. It's three dimensions, so it goes out in all different directions, and that's kind of the way that these wounds work. We get hurt, our souls get hurt, and that wound stays until we are healed. And that wound will begin to develop a set of emotions around that wound. And then when we have that wound and all of these emotions that surround the wound, we start to think certain things about ourselves, and we start to think certain things about the world around us. And when we begin to think in these ways, especially from these wounds that go unhealed, our thoughts become very unhealthy, very dysfunctional in our thoughts. And those thoughts have emotions around them. Every time I think, you know, whatever that wound was, if I have this thought, well, I'm a loser, I can't do this, I got fired from my job, so I must be a bad worker, I don't have a future. All of these thoughts that start to spider web out, it becomes very difficult to be able to see why is it that I struggle with patterns of anger or patterns of anxiety or patterns of frustration. Why do I have this stuff? It's hard to see the seed of where that stuff comes from because it gets so convoluted and so polluted, and our minds just get so cluttered, pardon the pun, but our minds become so cluttered with all of these thoughts that it's very, very difficult to be able to see. And there's a lot of us probably live with different areas of confusion in our minds, and we don't know why. This could be why, because it's tough to catch up with our thoughts when our thoughts are just going like this. And so as we get into today, this is what we went through last week. How many of you were here last week? Okay, good. Did anybody kind of mess around with this last week? Did anybody mess around with it? Okay, a couple of us. Good. A couple of us actually used this week. I got a text from Miss Stephanie this week, and she said that she started to use this. We both work in the mental health industry, and she started to use this with one of her clients, and it works. We should use this. We should all use this because this will help all of us. So this is what we talked about. We'll have these wounds, these hurtful or traumatic events, the TE or HE, TE for traumatic event, HE for hurtful event. Those traumatic or hurtful events will lead to certain emotions, and that's kind of the circles around this. Those hurtful or those emotions will spur off thoughts in different directions, will get us to think or will build questions about ourselves or questions about the world around us. From there, we'll start to act on those thoughts. Our actions also have emotions surrounding them, which will then lead us to certain beliefs about ourselves or beliefs about the world around us, which will then lead us into habits and lifestyles. Again, the important thing is to be able to track back, why do I have these anger problems? Remember, we had the can of soda, and so why am I always feeling like this on the inside? There's a reason. If I am always angry, or if someone pulls out in front of me, and cuts me off, you know, how much does that really affect my day? I got slowed down 2 seconds. Not a big deal. However, when someone pulls out in front of me and all of a sudden my insides start going like this and stuff starts coming out of my mouth that is completely out of character for myself or completely out of proportion for what just happened, there's a reason. Road rage happens for a reason. Because there's something, there are these things, these strongholds that we talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 last week. These strongholds are inside of us, and they cause us to react emotionally to things that we normally, it's not that big of a deal. But when we're all shaken up on the inside, and we pop that open because someone does something, those emotions come out, and it should point us back to, there is a reason why I am responding this way. Okay. So now this week is going to be a little bit different. Did you guys kind of like the interactive stuff? Did you guys like talking last week? Good, because we're going to talk some more. I like talking. I got a lot of really favorable comments from folks that they like the interactive stuff. So if I ask a question, got to talk back to me. Okay, so there are a lot of misconceptions about the spirit world, about what happens in the invisible spirit world. You know, we talk a lot about angels, we talk about demons, we talk about God, we talk about Satan, but what does that really look like? How does that work its way out in the real world, in how we live our lives? So sometimes, you know, as we're talking about this stuff, and we talk about, you know, the wounds that happen from childhood, sometimes people can get kind of frustrated, and gosh, why do we keep talking about my childhood? I need to just get over it. I need to walk past it. If we get healed, we can get over it. If we allow God to bring us to a place where we can be healed, then we can get over it. But until we allow ourselves to go to those places of woundings, it's not going to happen. And we will continue to operate in the same patterns over and over and over, which totally, really frustrates our family members when they have to walk on eggshells around us, or they have to explain our shortcomings to others. So it's so important that we don't just paint over that. We don't just stuff that stuff under the rug and forget about it. So how does the enemy get involved? How does the enemy of our souls, this being called Satan or these spiritual beings called evil spirits or demons, how do they get involved with us? How do they affect us? How do they get involved in this situation? Well, I think oftentimes it starts with a conversation. And our conversations almost always start with thoughts. Think back to in the Old Testament. Well, Old Testament or New Testament, there are two people that had individual conversations with Satan. Two people. Can you remember who those two people were that had conversations with Satan himself? One was Eve, one was Jesus. That's right. Now, what did Eve do when the serpent, who is the snake, who is Satan, came to her? He asked her a what? He asked her a question. She entered into a conversation with the tempter. And when she entered into that conversation, she lost. Now, we have no idea how long Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden, in this paradise with the Lord, naked and unashamed. We have no idea how long that amazing, perfect fellowship happened. The tempter came and spoke two or three sentences. That was it. They walked intimately with the Lord in the garden, naked and unashamed, for who knows how long. The tempter comes in and gives her two or three sentences, and she's done. And she throws it away. After two or three sentences, it could have been a lifetime that she walked with God. This is why when these negative thoughts start up in our minds, we don't engage them. When I start having these thoughts, I am a lousy person. I'll never be able to do this. I will always be this. I fill in the blanks, because we all do this, right? We all have these conversations in our mind. That where we are accusing ourselves of how bad we are and how our future is, there's no hope. I'll never get better at this. I'll always be this. All of those conversations that happen in our mind, we have the option to start a conversation with that thought. And when we start a conversation with that thought, very rarely does it take us to a good place. When those conversations start, we have the same opportunity that Eve had. Because when the tempter said, "Did God really say you should not eat from any tree?" or whatever that first question was, her answer should have been, "Yep," and walked away. "Yeah, but you surely won't die." "Yes." And walked away. That's how the conversation could have gone. That's not how it went. When we have these thoughts that say, "I will never be able to fill in the blank. I'll never defeat this. I'll never get past this. I'll always feel like this the rest of my life. I will never. When those thoughts start up, we go back to what we talked about last week in 2 Corinthians. And we say, "I take that thought captive and I make that thought obedient to Christ because I don't want it. It's a lie. I don't want it." We can do that every single time. And it works. It works. The battleground between us and the enemy happens right between our ears. That's where we win. That's where we lose. Because as these accusations start going through our minds that want to take us to self-destructive places, we can choose no, I take this thought captive. I make this thought obedient to Christ. I don't want it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And we turn and we walk away. We win. We can win every time. I get a temptation. Hey, go look at her. Hey, go do this. Hey, just cheat a little bit. Don't write that down on your taxes. Do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Every time one of those thoughts goes through my mind, nope, I take that thought captive. I make that thought obedient to Christ. I don't want it. I might have to say it a couple times. But if I say it, and if I have faith, and if I mean it, and if I choose to turn away from it, we win. I win. You win. So we stop the conversation. We stop that internal conversation when it begins. We stop every accusation that comes through your mind, through our minds. You are nothing. You are this. You will never this. We stop those accusations. We recognize, I don't have to listen to this. I don't have to address this. I can shut this up. If I want to, I can shut this up. I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to continue to beat myself up over stuff that I did 20 years ago or 30 years ago that I continue to just beat myself up over because, gosh, I shouldn't have done that. I can't believe I still did that 30 years ago. I can't get this off my mind. It's because we're letting it stay in our mind. We take those thoughts captive. We make those thoughts obedient to Christ, and we turn away from them. That's the battle. We accept his lies. It's okay to do this. It's all right. Don't worry about that. You know, nobody's going to know. Those are lies. I take that thought captive. I make that thought obedient to Christ. I don't want it. I don't want it. And so I turn away from it. We give up, you know, I give up. This is too hard. It's not worth trying. It's not worth putting the effort into. I'll never get this. It's a lie. Got to take that thought captive. It is worth it. Whatever I'm being tempted to turn my back on because it's too hard, no, I stay with it. And I take those thoughts captive. I make those thoughts obedient to Christ. I sat with someone this week. And we were talking about wounds. We were talking about, and it was relationship stuff between this person and the spouse. And we got finished with this, with talking through this, and the person said, this can't work. This is way too easy. I've lived 20 years with this person, and we've not gotten along for 20 years. It can't be this easy. Have you ever fought with the Holy Spirit beside you? Well, I guess I haven't done that. Well, is the Holy Spirit God? Did God create everything that exists? Is God greater than the enemy that brings these ridiculous thoughts into my mind? If he is, and if we fight with him on our side, shouldn't it make a bigger difference than when I just try to grit my teeth and just decide I'm not going to do this anymore? It's a different ballgame. It does work. It does work because God has skin in the game. Us. God's skin in the game is us. We are the body of Christ. He wants us to win because he's living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to lose. He had skin in the game because he became a person and he gave his life. Is that not skin in the game? He benefits because he loves us when we obey and when we win, right? That's a good place to say yes. Yeah, we win, he wins, he wants us to win. we get this idea of, well, at least, you know, for those of us that watch like horror movies and stuff, we get this idea of, you know, evil and people who are possessed and things, you know, people just doing all this nasty stuff. Maybe, possibly, that works that way. I remember as a kid watching, if I say the name Bob Larson, does that spark any memories in anybody? Anybody know who Bob Larson is? Okay, a couple of us know. Bob Larson is kind of a sensationalist. He's got this YouTube thing, and he's called Bob Larson the Exorcist. And he does this really dramatic stuff of, he rents out hotel rooms. And when I was a kid, we used to listen to this guy. He had a, I think he was on Moody Radio at 8 o'clock every day through the week. And people would call into him, and he would talk to them. Like they would call in, they were possessed by demons, and he would be talking to these people, and they'd be in his own voices like this, and he's talking back and forth to them, and he's casting out demons on the phone. I don't know if, you know, you look back, is this stuff legit? I don't know. But I do know this, there is an enemy, because when we look at the directions that our thoughts take us, it's not often positive. And if we're able to trace this, a lot of this stuff back, these negative thought patterns, we trace it back to here, to places where we were wounded. It's almost always negative. Why is that? Because the person who drops these thoughts into our mind wants us to go into self-destruct mode. He wants us to die. He is an accuser. He is a murderer. He is a liar. And he has been so since he turned. He hates us. So, our passage, if you got your Bibles, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to kind of go verse by verse through this. The main idea this week is we're going to be talking about living in God's authority. Because when we understand the authority that we have, because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, this knowledge, this understanding should be a real game changer for us. When we realize what we can do because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. This might be familiar because earlier this year, Pastor Tim did a message on, he did a series on the armor of God. So this will just kind of be a refresh of that. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. When we get trapped into negative thinking, when we get trapped into self-accusations and all the just the really crappy stuff that goes through our mind, how is that? Are we being strong in the Lord and in his mighty power when we can't get ourselves out of negativity? If that's the best that's here, if this is the best that there is, God is not a very powerful guy. But he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Every time Jesus was going about his business and he encountered someone who had a demon inside of them and he spoke to that demon, what did that demon have to do every single time Jesus told that demon he had to leave? What did it do? He had to. He didn't have a choice. These evil spirits do not have a choice. When they come to attack us through our thoughts, if we are operating in the same authority that Jesus did, because we have the same authority, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, it's not our personal authority, it is the authority of God inside of us. When we operate in that authority, we are operating with the power of God's might. And when we confront these spirits that are coming against us and dropping these negative thoughts into our mind, they have to listen. They don't have a choice. Should be smiles. Because we win. Yes. We have the authority of God Almighty inside of us. They have to listen. We don't have to keep getting our butts kicked every day by our own thoughts. We don't have to. Because he says you can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That doesn't mean we just... How often... I should say it this way. When I counsel with people, so often it's like we're just cowering in a corner. God, please take these thoughts away. Please take these emotions away from me. I just want to feel better. Good Lord, we've been given authority to stand up against them. We don't have to sit there and take it. We don't have to sit here and take it. We stand up because we have God's power and God's authority. So he goes on. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is one of the devil's schemes. Because when I'm hurt, and we showed this last week, we worked this out last week. If you were not here last week, and you can go back on the website and watch that video. But we showed this last week where we have this wound, we have the thought and the actions, and almost every time when we come out here, when we start to develop beliefs about ourselves and about the world around us, by the time we get here, we've started to look back at this wound, and this person hurt me, but our beliefs end up with, it's my fault. I did something to deserve this. How do we get there? Someone hurts me, and we get out to these beliefs, and I turn it back on myself? That's not what he's saying. He said, this is the trick. This is a scheme that the enemy uses to get us to make us our own worst enemy. And we shoot ourselves in our foot, and we shoot ourselves in the leg, and we shoot ourselves all over the place as we are thinking these negative things about ourselves, these self-condemning things about ourselves. He says we need to take our stand against the devil's schemes. Take your stand against the stuff that's going through your mind. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our battle is not against ourselves. We get out here into actions and habits, and we start to develop addictions and those kinds of things, and we start to think, we are the enemy. I'm the problem. I'm not the problem. All of this stuff leading up to that is the problem. My battle is not against myself. My battle is not even against the person who hurt me. Our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil that drop these thoughts into our mind. That's who we fight with. We don't fight against people. That knucklehead that pulled out in front of us and made us so angry, they're not the problem. My reaction is the problem. And what caused me to have that reaction, that's the problem. And the beliefs and the thoughts that are stuck in my mind that cause me to react that fiery, negative, angry way each time, that's where the problem is. And so we fight on that level. We fight against the enemy of our souls that tempts us to respond in these hurtful and negative ways to ourselves and to those around us. Is this making sense? Okay, good. Okay, so then he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Standing our ground is when we have chosen to no longer follow along with the thought patterns in our heads that take us to places where we're hurting ourselves. And we fight against the enemy so that every time these thoughts go through our mind, nope, God, I take that thought captive. I make that thought obedient to you. Every time I take that thought captive, I make that thought obedient to you. We are in a culture that wants to allow our emotions to drive our actions. When we have lived with unhealed wounds inside of us, we are going to have a pool of emotions that cause us to act in certain patterns repeatedly. If we are depending on our emotions to get ourselves out of a funk, feeling depressed, if we're waiting for our emotions to change to motivate our actions to do something different, no, that's not the way that it works. We fight our thoughts. We act in faith. Then what do our emotions do? They change. Yes. We change our thoughts. We change our actions. Then our emotions change. If we're waiting through a pill or through a cigarette or through something to make me feel better, to then motivate me to do something different, I'm not going to get there. I change my thoughts, I change my actions, my emotions will come alongside. My mood lifts. Everything changes then. So next week we're going to get into also, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Very, very difficult to forgive people who have wounded us while we are still stuck in negative thought patterns. Because every time we see that person, where does our mind go? To what? What's that? Every time we try to deal with that wound, where will our mind automatically go? To the negative thoughts. That's right. That's where it will always go. That's why it's so difficult to try to forgive somebody before we've knocked out the negative thought patterns. Because every time we try to get there, we go, yeah, but. And then we start to try the yeah, but. And then we get bit by the yabbits. Anybody else got the yabbits beside me? I want to do this, yeah, but. We all got the yabbits. And they're the things that take us down. The yabbits, I'll have to talk to Steve Broughton because Steve and I figured that out. We did mess around with that. Anyway, the yabbits would take us to these thoughts that take us to negative places. And it's very, very difficult then to dig ourselves out of. Because as soon as that thought comes, What follows right along with that thought? Our emotions. That's right. And when we start having that negative thought and all those emotions come along with it, then we're going to start doing certain things. And once we have learned that these certain things, especially if they're negative, if those certain things bring us a little bit of relief, those certain things that we do that brings a little bit of relief will take us into addictions. Because when I learn that if I take 4 or 5 drinks a night, my anxiety will level out. What am I going to do every single night? I'll take 4 or 5 drinks. Because I've learned that it works. Yes, I am destroying my liver. Yes, I'm pushing my family away from me. But I'm easing what? The pain, my emotions. That's right. That's right. Now, if I quit drinking to ease my emotions, but if I don't go to the wound, what am I going to do? I'm going to replace the drinking with what? Something else. That's right. That's right. The drinking isn't the problem. It's not good. I mean, you know, getting drunk is not good, but it's not the issue. The issue is working our way back to here so we can be healed. The problem is we don't like to go to a counselor because then people think certain things of us, right? They'll think I'm weak. They'll think I have mental illness. They'll think I'm depressed. They'll think I can't handle myself. It is handling yourself. When you go and ask for help, it is handling yourself. For those of us who have jobs, especially those of us who are managers, we have someone, we have, if we work with people under us and they don't know what to do, what do we hope that they would do? Ask for help. Well, isn't that interesting? But we don't want to ask for help because people will think that we don't got our stuff together. Something to ponder. So we understand the schemes of the enemy. We operate in the authority that we have because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And then we obey. We obey even when it doesn't seem practical. We obey. He says, we stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around our waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place. We have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we need our feet fitted with the gospel, the readiness of the gospel of peace, especially when we're driving, right? Because sometimes when we don't have our shoes of peace on and someone cuts in front of us, we get right up behind them. You're going to see the whites of my eyes, and I'm going to show you how ticked off I am at you. That is not the gospel of peace. That's the gospel of I'll show you. The gospel of peace is obedience. It's not I'll show you. That is vengeance. Obedience does what our bodies sometimes doesn't want us to do. That person cuts out in front of us, we ease off. That person says something negative to us in the store, we back off. Obedience changes this pattern. Obedience is when we put on the different parts of the armor of God. In addition to all of this, we take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When these negative thoughts come, I pick up my shield of faith. I put on my helmet of salvation. And when these negative thoughts come, I say no. I take these thoughts captive. I make these thoughts obedient to Christ. And if that thought comes 50 times a day, I choose to fight that thought 50 times a day. And I'm not only fighting it with my shield of faith, with my helmet of salvation, I'm taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God says, no, I take that thought captive, and I make that thought obedient to Christ, and I put it aside. That's how we stand up like women. That's how we stand up like men. And we fight. And not only do we fight for ourselves, we fight for ourselves, we fight for those of us who have children, we fight for our children. Because we want to model to our children what it looks like to live a self-controlled, upright, holy life. And we don't just do that for our children, we do that for our grandchildren. A lot of us grew up in alcoholic homes from generation to generation to generation. Those things stop when we choose to start obeying. When we choose to go to our wounds and we have our wounds healed. We're teaching our children, we're teaching our grandchildren how not to live a mind full of strongholds. Imagine a family full of family members who were living without strongholds in their minds. What would that look like? How amazing would it be to grow up in that kind of a family? It's possible. It's obedience. When we start to do this, the fruits of the Spirit start to grow. Self-control is just me learning how to take my thoughts captive. You know, we look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all those. We get to the last one, self-control, and most of us say, I don't want to learn that one. And that's the one that just feels like the most insurmountable. But it happens, we start behaving in self-controlled ways when we start taking our thoughts captive. And our thoughts start to change, and we start to act out of obedience. And the fruit of the Spirit just starts growing. Love just starts happening. Peace, contentment, joy, they just start happening. Because we're killing what the enemy is bringing into our minds. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then Tony's going to come up, and we're going to do, last time Tony had some questions, we did a little Q&A kind of thing. We're going to actually, if you have questions, then we're going to take a few minutes and give you a chance to ask some questions. Would say if there are very personal kind of stuff, certainly, you know, we'll be discreet about that, and we could maybe make some time for you to come into the office and talk about that kind of stuff. But if you have more general kinds of questions, anything that has been kind of popping in your mind as we've been talking, then you can take that. We can do a little bit of Q&A that way. So let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have allowed us to live in a relationship with you where we are able to operate in your power and your forgiveness and to operate in your love. We are thankful that you care about us so much that you want us to do well. You are proud of us and you love us just because we're your kids. And you want us to live in that kind of love. So God, during as we continue through our week, as we start this week, I pray that you would allow us to move into such a wonderful area of your loving kindness, of your power, and help us to walk in the strength of your authority. Help us to recognize your authority in our lives and help us to walk in that authority. So be with us as we begin this week, and we once again dedicate our thoughts and our minds and our hearts to you. In your name, amen.
Okay, this should be interesting. Again, I want to reiterate what Jim said. If your question involves a name, a specific situation, or anything that you think whoever is beside you will elbow you about, that's not the questions we want. So these are kind of general questions, similar to kind I asked last week about the subject matter that Jim was covering this morning. So does anybody have one right away that would like to ask a question? I'll come to you, and then you can ask the question. Go ahead and pop your hand up, okay?
How do you start healing a wound that is based on somebody else's habit? Like, they have their habit based on their wound, but your wound comes from their habit.
If if this person is still very close in proximity to you, and it is a continual wound that just keeps happening. The word talks to us about confrontation and appropriate methods of confrontation. If the confrontation doesn't work, then there are next steps of confrontation. If a person exhausts all of the steps of confrontation, then there, I think, that's a great question.
Yes, it is.
I think there are different methods of separation in order to keep a person safe, emotionally, physically, safe. Those appropriate levels of separation would not continue. I don't know specifically the relationship there, but if there's damage being done, then safety is really, really important. And keeping for a person to keep themselves safe is a number one.
Okay.
Yeah. While that's happening, the power of prayer is very, very significant. And to begin to pray in the way that we're taught to pray, in James chapter 5, it's pretty upfront about the power of prayer. That would be something that could also be worked in, should be worked in as well. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great
We have
question.
Another question? Pop your hand up quick.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I, at that moment, I don't even think about how I'm breaking the law by the speed limit, you know.
Yeah.
I just go faster and faster.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So, yeah, that happened twice, and I was upset with myself afterwards.
Yeah. So at that point, what I would be looking at is, why am I doing this? What am I satisfying inside of myself to do this? Because, you know, really, if I go 60... and they go 55, and I get around them, I'm going 5 miles an hour faster than they are. How much quicker is that going to get me home? Maybe a couple more minutes. So be able to get back into your head and your thoughts instead of your emotions, then you think, okay, this is really not that big a deal. I'll sit back and enjoy the radio a little more. But yeah, that's what I would do. Would be think, get back in your head and out of your emotions in that one.
Jim, you mentioned right at the beginning, and you've covered it here again, the idea of the thoughts. Are there key terms that we can differentiate condemnation versus affirmation when we're thinking thoughts?
Yes. Yes. So oftentimes, these automatic thoughts will be more condemning. That's why I think it's in Colossians... Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Like, he has to specifically say, no, set your mind on the things above, not this stuff. This is what we naturally go to. But no, choose to set your mind on things above instead of the earthly things where the condemnation happens, but the affirmation comes as we, just as we understand how much God loves us. When we allow our minds to go to places where we really understand God loves me, and when I can rest in that truth that God loves me, it's a whole different story than all this mess. And so that is a conscious choice where I have to really purposefully, intentionally put my mind on things above. And when I do that, then that's when the really good stuff, that's when my thoughts start changing, because I'm intentionally putting my thoughts in different places than this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. We got another question? We have a few minutes left. Another question?
Okay, so sometimes it's probably pretty hard to really come up with the traumatic event or the main wound.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, so you can work from like your actions backwards. I think mm-hmm. you kind of talked about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody, if you think you grew up, everything was perfect and everything's been pretty good, you can't really think of that wound. What's some ways you can work backwards?
So if I had, so let's say I have a habit, every time I get nervous, I crack my knuckles. No big deal, right? Nobody is going to hell for cracking their knuckles, right? That's not going to happen. But every time I get nervous, I do this. Why do I do that? What am I feeling when I'm doing this? Where are my thoughts going? When, you know, then my, okay, then I'm able to relax. I don't know. But when I do that, it's a habit. I can actually start to work my way back. When I'm doing this, what am I thinking? When I'm doing this, what am I feeling? And then I start thinking, okay, if this is a habit, what are the things? So I believe that this is what solves my problems. I believe that this is what calms me down. Where'd that come from? So I start thinking about that kind of stuff. This is a very intentional process of like intentionally putting your mind to these things. Because when we do this, we're able to start working our way back. What thoughts do I have? What thought? And we work our way back. Now, not so cracking our knuckles, probably that's not, you know, my dad beat me and so I crack my knuckles. That's not what this is. I'm just using that as an example. But there are lots of habits that we have that would be pretty significant, could be kind of hurtful. And as we start to work our way back, we can actually find our way back to, like you said, Jesse, find our way back to that wound. And then next week we'll talk about forgiveness and then how to knock out these original wounds that were in there. Yeah.
One more. Jim, you talked about the Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. and they were created to have dominion. They lost it.
Yep.
Satan seems to have the same playbook he's using in this scenario.
Yeah.
For those of us that are in Christ, we cannot be taken out of the Lord's hand.
That's right.
But he can make us ineffective.
Yes.
So you talked about authority.
Yes.
And so for us to realize that the authority of the gospel in our lives is what Satan wants to make us ineffective
yes.
in. So
yep.
How do we talk our self-talk, whatever you want to call it, about reminding ourselves of the power and authority of the gospel?
So that would be very important. Has anybody ever made it a practice to memorize Bible verses? Some of us have. That's a really good way to do that. Because when we hide the word in our hearts, and when these things start to come, and I have this negative thought that says, I am a fill in the blank, when I take that thought captive to make that thought obedient to Christ, I need something to move in and replace what this part of my identity said that I was. So I need something that God says to replace what was on the shelf in my mind. I need to put something else on the shelf. And some of those different scripture verses would be really positive in being able to do that, to knock out, as we knock out those negative thoughts, to put the more positive stuff in there.
Okay. Thank you. Wow, again, this was very informative and